Brock T. from San Diego.
My name is Brock. I'm an alcoholic. Very grateful to be here tonight. Happy birthday. And the 90 days, that's big. I'm pretty sure I had my first drink sometime around 10 years old. Don't really know exactly. I remember I was walking home from my aunt's house to my grandmother's, and I saw a bottle of vodka on the side of the road, and I decided it would be a good idea if I had some. Don't know where that idea came from, but it came, and I drank it, and the last thing I remember is the cops dropped me off at home. I didn't get in much trouble for that. It was kind of blown over. It was no big deal. I suppose for a lot of people that would have been a sign of things to come. It didn't seem like a big deal for me. I almost liked the attention and the excitement from it. It all kind of worked out. Drank a little bit at that age, you know, finishing off glasses at social events, sneaking booze from friends' liquor cabinets, that kind of stuff. But nothing really heavy until we moved out from Boston to San Diego when I was about 12. And I remember feeling like I lost my best friends, and they were hard to come by because I never really felt like I fit in anywhere. I think at some point in my childhood I decided that I needed to be somebody else in order to be accepted and loved. I can't explain exactly why. More will be revealed, I suppose. But I know that at some point I started to lie. I started to hide my feelings. I started to be somebody else. I slipped into a fantasy world from time to time. I thought I was somebody else. And I remember, you know, on the outside I was saying I don't care, but on the inside I desperately needed attention and love. I grew up with a single mom who was a little bit on the crazy side. I'm sure whatever sanity she did have, I took from her. I wasn't the easiest kid to raise. I think I was expelled from two elementary schools before we moved to California. I lasted at the junior high school here until I made it into to high school, and then after about a year in the high school or 9 months in the high school, I had to go to a secondary school because I just got in trouble all the time. I didn't show up. I smoked pot before class. I drank, hung out with an unsavory crowd. Just basically wasn't good on the educational platform. Got into a bunch of trouble. Got arrested. Went to juvenile hall. That went on for a while, and eventually a very kind judge gave me an ultimatum: clean up your act, or I'll send you to prison until you're out of my jurisdiction, which I guess would have been 21. I got put into a place called the Boiled Owl. It's now shut down. I was the youngest person ever to go into the Boiled Owl. I was 16 at the time. That was after about 4 months of getting sober in juvenile hall. And I remember that everybody was just old. They were old. And it was... I had been through a couple of group homes before, but nothing like real AA. It was all kind of spin-dry stuff. It was all... back in the 80s, they were doing a lot of this co-diagnosis stuff. You know, they wanted you to get you sober, but they were putting you on behavioral meds. I didn't need any of that, so they put me on tryptophan so I could sleep. And I remember I finally got in with a cool crowd down at the beach, and I started going to a lot of meetings, and I got involved in the program, and I got a sponsor. I started sponsoring people. I worked the steps. I stayed sober till I was 21. And I didn't really leave AA. I kind of walked out and started a life. I realize now that I wasn't really part of Alcoholics Anonymous as much as I was part of a social group or a clique within Alcoholics Anonymous. And I didn't understand the fellowship the way I do now. Went out, started a family. Everything was pretty good for quite a while. I didn't start really exhibiting signs of hardcore problems with alcohol until I was in my late 20s and early 30s. And then, things started showing up with anger issues, paint samples on my car. Just really blackouts, things you can't explain, the kind of drinking that we come here with. When I was sober as a teenager, someone told me, you're probably not an alcoholic, but you'll always have problem drinking. And I remember now the last few years of my drinking, I kind of hang on to that comment tooth and nail that I wasn't a real alcoholic. And then towards the end of my drinking, I was pretty happy being an alcoholic. I was okay dying that way, as long as I could get away with it and things keep moving forward. In probably 2015, my wife at the time was starting to lay the ultimatums down. Hey, you have a problem. Things need to change. I tried quitting drinking, and I smoked pot for 3 or 4 months. I was growing pot and selling to the dispensary, so I had plenty of it. and I remember that at the end of the 3 or 4 months, my wife looked at me and said, "Would you just drink?" Because the behavior wasn't changing at all. I just wasn't drinking. little time went by, tried this, tried that, and then finally on April 1st of 2017, I showed up at a place called The Huddle off Goldfinch Street, and I walked into the back of the restaurant, and there was a group of people in there that really made me feel welcome. I wasn't quite ready to stop drinking completely. I was going to try cutting down a little bit because I didn't want to have the shakes. I didn't want to have the DTs. That went on for a couple of weeks. I would drink before the meeting sometimes. I would drink after the meeting. Sometimes it was at noon, so I had that option. One day I was mixing a cocktail on the way after the meeting, walking down the street back to my house, which is 0.7 miles away, fumbling, almost crying in total despair. I was dropping stuff, and I said, this stuff's going to stop. And so I went back, and I got a full bottle, finished moving my warehouse. Incident was driving back from my warehouse in a rental truck going 100 miles an hour down PCH. And then I had my nephew in the back, and this was a kid who idolized me from the time he was a child. And I remember looking back and seeing the look of fear in his eyes. And it wasn't the first time that I saw that look. I had disappointed everyone in my life numerous times. I had said this would never happen again. I won't do this anymore. I'll change this. I'll fix this. I'll do whatever it takes. And I just couldn't do it. And it was the same way when I was trying to cut down for that 2.5 weeks. I was telling myself that I just wanted to cut down, and the bottom line is I just couldn't quit. Went home that evening, passed out, woke up the next day, went to the meeting, and it was done. And I remember talking to a guy who later became my sponsor, and he said, you know, you understand everything you need to do here. You just need to grow up and do it. And that, for some reason, it sunk to me. It wasn't it didn't come across as arrogant. It didn't come across as shitty. It was just that you need just to grow up and do this. This is ridiculous. So that night, I was lying in bed with my then wife. She was having an asthma attack. I was feeling absolutely horrible. The world was crumbling around me. And my daughter had called and started screaming at me that I needed to get my crap together and quit drinking. And I had no more answers left. It was $1 million or a bullet. I was just done. I had nothing left. I had nothing. Nothing I could have said could have made me feel any better. At that moment on the phone, I told her I couldn't take this. I had to go. I hung up the phone. And for me, the lighting in the room changed. And a feeling came over me of warmth and comfort like I've never felt before in my life, and I knew everything was going to be okay. And I put my hand on my wife's back, and she started to breathe again. And from that moment forward, I've never had to question whether there's a God. I'm grateful for that, because I feel that with the agnostic beliefs that I came here with, I would have fought tooth and nail on every little thing, and now I just don't care. Shortly into my sobriety, you could have come and told me I had to worship anything, and I would have done it. I would have chewed glass to have what you had. As I got through that, I went to about 800 meetings my first year of sobriety, probably more like 1,000. And my attitude was that I was of no use to anyone the last bit of my drinking and in the early part of my sobriety and my business, and I had people covering my butt. So I decided to drink like I decided to take sobriety like I drank, which is all day, every day, no matter what. I mean, I was waking up at 6 o'clock in the morning drinking. Why couldn't I go to a 7 a.m. meeting? You know, I was drinking through lunch, not eating much. Why couldn't I go to a noon meeting? Part of it was also escaping my home because things weren't too good at the time. You know, there's not much to say when you're in that early sobriety. People don't want to hear the bullshit excuses anymore, and it takes time for that to heal and go through that. Went to a lot of meetings, worked the steps, participated wherever I could. I took service commitments. I continue to read. One of my hobbies is reading about the history of AA and the books that the old-timers read while AA was being shaped. That's been a great source of understanding with where some of the stuff comes from that we hear in the rooms and some of our traditions and habits and rituals, if you will, that we practice in the rooms. Now, in the third year of my sobriety, I have the pleasure of sponsoring a few people. And this year has really been not so much feeling these changes within myself. There's been changes, but they've been subtle. But being able to sit there and witness it within somebody else, being able to see someone else understand when they're someone that they didn't realize they were, and their acceptance with their higher power, that noisy hope that we come here with, that I hope it's going to be okay, I need this, and turning into a quiet faith that I think we get after a while when we see how well it really works here. I have a tremendous amount of friends and people that I see all the time. My life, my social life, my interest has become Alcoholics Anonymous. I cannot imagine life without the people that I've met here. I remember they told me that the same man would drink again, and I can tell you that I'm not the same person that came here. I have changed, and I'd like to take credit for that, but I can't. I put the work in, that's for sure, but the changes come from the steps, the traditions, and the people in these rooms, and God. My relationship with my higher power has probably turned into a friendship more than it has any type of worship. I wake every day before I even get out of bed, and I pray to have my sobriety maintained, my biases, my memories, everything that I have, I ask for God to take and leave me with what I need to go through the day. And so far, that's been pretty successful. I've only lost my temper really once, and my amends have been pretty slight. I've gotten off pretty easy on the behavior. I realize that more importantly, I'm here to discipline my mind and my behavior, and to be of service. And if I put myself in the service of God, put my expectations at the side, and get out of self as much as I can, and remember what you do, my life goes pretty well. And thank you.